morning's reading is taken from Nehemiah, chapter 2, verses 11 to 20. Like we found on page 486 in the Blue Spot Bibles, if you have a Blue Spot. I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate towards the Jackal Well and the Dung Gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on towards the Fountain Gate and the King's Pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me, and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. "What is this you are doing?" they asked. "Are you rebelling against the king?" I answered them by saying, "The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please may these words be your words, not mine. Open our eye, our ears, and our hearts to hear what you have to say to each one of us. In your name and for your glory. Amen. What do you feel is your purpose in life? For me, as I will declare before you all shortly, and I'm so happy that you're all here with me to share that, my purpose is to follow Jesus, to affirm my faith in worshiping the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, revealed in the Holy Scriptures, and to promise to try as much as I can to conduct myself as a worker of Christ for the good of his church and for the spiritual welfare of all people, not only those I get on with. This is what drives me, and this is what drives my actions and my choices every day. And I'm privileged to be able to soon reaffirm this in my licensing and to continue to serve and work with you all in St. Mark's and St. Paul's. For Nehemiah, his purpose was to do God's will, even if the task seemed impossible. Nehemiah chose to leave his good position in the Persian government to do what God wanted in leading the rebuilding of the walls in Jerusalem, and they needed rebuilding. When the Babylonians conquered and destroyed Jerusalem in 586 BC, they also destroyed all the walls and burned the gates with fire. Now, these walls represented the power, the beauty, the protection of the city of Jerusalem. And they were also required to protect the temple from attack and ensure continuity and community in worship. So as we continue in our series in Nehemiah, the focus today is on Nehemiah's prayer, preparation, and pressing on, the call to action for rebuilding the broken city walls in Jerusalem. Nehemiah teaches us about vision, resilience, and the unwavering commitment to God's purpose as we see how he acts and reacts in relation to this. Today also, as Tim reminded us, is Trinity Sunday. And as we celebrate Trinity Sunday, it's a day that invites us to reflect on the divine mystery of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in perfect unity, yet one God. Our passage in chapter 2, in verses 11 to 20, speaks powerfully to these themes of purpose, unity, and rebuilding. Just as God exists in perfect harmony, Nehemiah's mission to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem offers us a practical model for living in unity and purpose as God's people. By way of recap, the story so far, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to King Artaxerxes of Persia, which is modern-day Iran, where he had a position of trust and influence. Now, when news reached him of broken walls in Jerusalem and the vulnerability of his people, he was really sad. Remember, Tim talked to us about that 2 weeks ago. And then after prayer and fasting, he received the king's favor to return to Jerusalem and lead the effort to build its walls, as we heard last week. And this is where our passage continues today, as Nehemiah reached Jerusalem. Now, when Nehemiah arrived in Jerusalem, he took 3 days before taking any action, taking the time to observe the condition of the city and reflect. Now, let's be honest, he probably also needed a rest. His journey was over 500 miles from Susa, where he was in Persia, and could easily have taken a few months at that time. So this moment of quiet reflection was crucial in so many ways. And it reminds us of the importance of discernment and prayerful planning. We've seen over the past couple of weeks how important praying is for Nehemiah in all circumstances. He really did pray without ceasing, it seems, as we're reminded to do in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. And over the past couple of weeks, Tim has guided us well to remember this, to pray regularly, especially before embarking on tricky tasks. And we see how our church weekly prayer meetings have been such a blessing to us as we've searched for our new chaplain, and how they've also strengthened us as a community. So then comes the preparation in verses 12 to 16. And we see Nehemiah's determination to understand the true state of the walls. He says, "I arose in the night, and a few men with me, I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem." He also demonstrates an excellent approach to problem solving. He took a few people with him, didn't go it alone. He got first-hand information and carefully considered the situation, which shows us the importance of preparation, quiet reflection, and seeking God's guidance before embarking on any task. And for us as Christians, this also mirrors the work of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, united in love and purpose. And similarly, Nehemiah's early steps remind us to do this too. Seek God's guidance, allow moments of reflection, and align our plans with God's divine will. Trinity Sunday challenges us to embrace this unity of purpose in everything we do, placing God at the center of our plans, just like Nehemiah did. So back to our passage, and it states in verse 14 that the walls were so broken that his horse could not even get through. So he had to inspect that section on foot. I've put up a map here that I found that really helped me understand it. I'm sorry if it looks a bit small. The bits in dark blue is what Nehemiah walked, okay? So he's continuing to the Kidron Valley over on the right. And then when he gets to the King's Pool, so these are the two blue bits at the bottom, there's a steep embankment of Jerusalem on that eastern wall. And that's where the city used to be held up. But when that wall came down, when the Babylonians destroyed the city, all the houses and all the rubble came down into the valley with it. And that's those blue lines on the right-hand side. So that's why he can't ride his horse. It's literally just full of rubble. And that's where he can really see everything is in complete ruin. The city is defenseless. And all of this made me think, what are the broken walls in our lives, in our communities, in our church? Because Nehemiah's example calls us to spiritual vigilance. So before we rush into action, we should really take time to identify the areas that need rebuilding. Is it broken relationships among us? Is it the lack of outreach to those in need? Or perhaps the walls of faith that have weakened in the face of secular challenges? That's what it is for me sometimes. This is a lesson for us. We are called to rebuild relationships, strengthen our communities, or serve in ministry. Preparation matters. It requires patience, discernment, and a willingness to face the truths about the task at hand. And Nehemiah teaches us that preparation is not a lack of faith, it's an act of stewardship, ensuring that our efforts honor God and meet the required needs effectively. So as we think about that, we continue in our passage. In verses 15 and 16, we see that Nehemiah kept his mission secret. It says, "And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, all the others who did the work." Nehemiah hadn't told anyone. This had been a secret mission. Because as we saw from verse 10 last week, and as we'll find out later in the book of Nehemiah, and in this passage, not everyone wanted the Jewish people to succeed. Not even all the Jewish people wanted the Jewish people to succeed. Therefore, Nehemiah doesn't tell anyone what's going on at this stage until his preparation is complete. So remember, this is not merely a physical rebuilding. It symbolized restoring the spiritual and communal life of God's people. And so his leadership highlights faith, vision, and action qualities that are really essential for any Trinity-inspired mission. And that gives him the courage for the next part. After surveying the damage, he boldly gathers the leaders of Jerusalem and says, "You see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." His words are not merely a call to action, but also a declaration of hope. He acknowledges the challenge, but also points to God's hand upon them. In verse 18, "The hand of my God has been gracious upon thee." Now, this is important, because it's not Nehemiah imposing his own vision. He invites others to be part of the mission, part of God's purpose. And again, this reflects the relational nature of the Trinity. The Father sent the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit empowers the church. And so in Nehemiah's call, we see echoes of God's invitation to us to participate in his redemptive work. And also, Nehemiah's courage to speak up and rally these people reminds us of the importance of strong leadership in times of crisis. And so God often does call us to step forward, to inspire and to encourage those around us to join in his work. But equally, God will always equip us with what we need for that task, just as he did for Nehemiah. Are we ready to rise with courage and trust in God's provision, even if the task seems overwhelming? We can, of course, start with small tasks or missions and go from there. But I give you an example of an overwhelming one in my life where this really rang true. I chose to go on this mission trip about 30 years ago. It's a trip to Ecuador to build houses for families who would adopt or look after children whose parents died of AIDS, and also to help the kids in the slums. I found this incredibly hard in many, many ways. The poverty, the lack of basic needs for the kids, for everyone, the lack of clean water, proper toilets, bathrooms. Then there was the jungle, creepy crawlies. I was really out of my comfort zone in any way you can imagine. And we actually studied Nehemiah 2 during this time. And those lessons of prayer and preparation and courage to work together for God's purpose did really help us in the tough times. And we made it. We built houses, found and created a clean place for the kids to go in the afternoons and play, even in the slums. Praise God. Now, what's a complete God incidence is that John, on a very different mission trip 15 years ago to Malawi, where they went on medical outreach to visit communities, to repaint a maternity wing of a hospital and rebuild a water tower, they also studied Nehemiah and also found it really helpful because they had some obstacles to overcome. And so, just like we are now, we're all studying it, but we work together to achieve God's purpose in tough situations. So it applies to us all, whether we're on mission trips, whether we're here, everywhere, anytime, no matter how big or small the task or mission. Let's pray and prepare it well with God. And as a church community, we're called to join together in mission. Nehemiah's appeal reminds us that rebuilding is not a solitary task. It requires a collective effort of God's people. And again, Trinity Sunday is a perfect time to reflect on how we as a church can work together in harmony, each member bringing their unique gifts, just as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit function in unity. Just like John and I did on our respective mission trips, and like we are all doing now as a church community, and like each one of us can do as we go out into the week, in our homes, with the people we meet, in work, in study, etc. And finally, this also helps us when we face opposition. Back to our passage. And the final verses, remember, not everybody welcomed Nehemiah's efforts. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem mocked and ridiculed him, questioning his authority and intentions. Yet Nehemiah responds with steadfast faith in verse 20. The God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic right to it. Now, opposition is inevitable in any mission or any task that seeks to honor God. Yet Nehemiah's confidence was rooted not in his ability at all, but in God's sovereignty. And this represents the triune God's unshaken purpose. Despite humanity's rebellion, the Father sent the Son to redeem us, and the Spirit continues to empower us to overcome adversity. Praise God. So let us remember that Nehemiah's vision was not born out of ambition, but out of a deep burden for God's people and their welfare. He saw the brokenness and the vulnerability of the city. His heart was moved, and he was compelled to take action. How often do we pause to truly see the needs around us? Are we willing to let God place his vision in our hearts and follow God's purpose? Now, if we are willing to do this and we face opposition or ridicule or resistance in our faith journey, Nehemiah's example reminds us to trust in God's promises. Trinity Sunday assures us of the eternal support of the Father, the redemptive work of the Son, and the empowering presence of the Spirit. Together, they guide us through challenges, offering strength and hope. And so the story of Nehemiah in verses 11 to 20 is not confined to the walls of Jerusalem. It's a story of spiritual rebuilding, communal unity, and reliance on God. It is faith in action. And so on this Trinity Sunday, let us remember that our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is calling us to be co-builders in his mission and for his purpose. Let us survey the broken walls in our lives and communities. Let us call others to join in the rebuilding. And let us face opposition with unwavering faith. So that may we, like Nehemiah, dedicate ourselves to the purpose God has given us, reflecting the unity and love of the Trinity in all that we do. Amen.